It was on this date, 1965, the Miracles released The Tracks of My Tears. Interesting enough, it did not chart on its initial release in the UK in 1965. It did not chart, I should say. But like several other singles reissued by Motown in the UK in 1969, it became a top 10 hit in the summer, reaching number 9, credited then to Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. So you see the evolution there on this date in 1965. Okay, let's go to the Supreme Court, where they issued a ruling on this case we've been following, having to do with a cheerleader from Pennsylvania. She wanted to make the varsity squad. She didn't. So she went out Instagram and said, well, all kinds of nasty things about her cheerleading squad and her school and other things. She was disciplined by the school. She said it was free speech. The Supreme Court today issued its ruling on the case, and they said, yeah, it was a case of free speech. To help us understand that, we turn now to Art Ward, a professor of political science and the member of the law school at Northern Illinois University. Art, welcome back.
Steve, always great to be with you.
Okay, so we've talked about this case before, and you've said earlier that given the way the justices seem to be asking questions about it when it was argued before the court, it seems to me you're probably not too surprised by this ruling.
Yeah, I mean, this is a court that is actually a lot more agreeable than people think, and the reason they're more agreeable is because they're issuing kind of narrow decisions that kind of split the difference, and a lot of times both sides are partly winning, and that's what's happening here. The student partly wins, but so does the school in a way.
So it was an 8-1 decision written by Justice Stephen Breyer today, and said that explain for me, because contrast it to the Vietnam War, I think it was a Tinker case, and how the free speech was upheld here. Was that similar to the Vietnam War era case, or was it different?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar in the sense that that was another case where the students win in the sense that they can protest the war, but the school also wins because the court says, you know, if there's significant disruption, then the speech can be quashed. And that's really what the court says here. It says that while students have freedom of speech to criticize school and cheerleading and everything else, they don't have ultimate categorical freedom of speech to say whatever they want. If they say hate speech or threats or bullying or things like that, the school could step in and quash the speech at that point.
So schools still have the power to police their students outside the classroom, but it's got to be worse than this.
Yeah, exactly. This is really akin to political speech, is what the court is saying. And sure, she uses a vulgarity, but what is she doing? I mean, she's criticizing the school, and isn't that what the heart of political speech is, right? To criticize the government, to criticize your community, and be able to speak out against that. And the court has long held that students have that political speech right.
Was it Breyer that said that if that were the standard, this Instagram post, that's all schools would be doing, would be punishing their students?
Yeah, I mean, imagine if it was what Justice Thomas wants, then the schools would be policing students 24 hours, 7 days, 7 days a week, as Justice Breyer says. And then in that sense, students would never have free speech, right? Everything that they might say off campus or in private might be fair game to be used by schools. And so there has to be some kind of balance, Justice Breyer says.
I want to get to Justice Thomas's dissent. It was an 8-1 majority ruling, which means the one was Justice Thomas. But one more line from Justice Breyer. He says, the school itself has an interest in protecting a student's unpopular expression, especially when the expression takes place off campus. America's public schools are the nurseries of democracy. I like that line. I think that's one that might last for a while.
Yeah, I think that's one that will last, as you say. And it's really getting at this point, right, that schools have an obligation to teach democracy, and freedom of speech is where that begins, and discussion in the community, and then lawmakers hear that, and then public policy is enacted. And so in that sense, the students are participating in democracy, and schools need to promote that and teach that.
I am looking at Justice Thomas's dissent, and what he seems to be saying, and this comes up a lot when it comes to extracurriculars, right? That there are separate rules for people who participate in extracurriculars. They have to sign a code that maybe other students don't have to. But Justice Thomas said that, look, damage done by speech from the football captain is more damaging than done by he didn't say the nerd in the library club, but you know, but by just your run-of-the-mill student. If you are someone who has a quote-unquote elevated position in school, you have more power and then therefore perhaps more liability slash responsibility for what you say. Did I paraphrase that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, what Thomas would say is, you know, it does depend on the context to some extent in the sense that, you know, somebody who says is criticizing the school, it depends on, you know, what the student, who the student is and you know, what the criticism is. And if this criticism rises to something serious, then the school should be able to quash it. And, you know, and Thomas is very much echoing the dissent of Justice Black from Tinker versus Des Moines from the Vietnam case, which is very much about giving authority to schools to control their environment. And Thomas is all about the history and tradition of these, you know, policies that go all the way back to the 19th century, and that's his kind of originalist view that he's taking in this case.
So did the Supreme Court, I'm trying to come up with the baseball analogy, Art, and I'm failing. I don't know if it was a walk, if it was a sacrifice bunt, if they took a pitch. They didn't really swing away on this one, did they?
Well, this is, you know, this is the genius of Chief Justice Roberts and why he continues to win and prove that he's influential with the assist from Justice Breyer. You know, they find an alliance kind of in the middle of the court, finding a narrow decision where both sides get to take a little bit of something and keeping the decision away from the extremes, like someone like Clarence Thomas, right, who would like to be the leader of the conservative wing. But he's losing and he's failing. You know, he's the most conservative justice in half a century or a century on the Supreme Court, and he does not have a majority. That's what this term proves.
I'm sorry, who doesn't have the majority?
Clarence Thomas. He just does not have the votes, right? I mean, everybody thought that with six Republican appointees, they wouldn't need Roberts and that he could run the table. But he hasn't been able to do that. Kavanaugh, Barrett, Gorsuch voting with the Chief Justice and Breyer and others in the middle, holding the center.
How would you rank them from the right? It would be Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch?
Yeah, that's right. And then Barrett and Kavanaugh, moderately conservative. And it's interesting, Kavanaugh seems to be shaking out as kind of the median justice in the sense that he seems to be the swing vote now. And, you know, in fact, he's been in the majority in 96% of the cases this term. He leads the justices. Yeah, so he's very much, you know, new justices tend to follow the chief. You know, they tend to keep their head down and kind of do what the chief says when they come to the court. But Kavanaugh is really jockeying for the middle in a way that even Barrett and others aren't quite there, you know, but they're all moving to the middle. It's really interesting how they're moving there, you know, after Sandra Day O'Connor and Anthony Kennedy had been in the middle position for so long.
Right.
Who's going to be that new, you know, key vote now?
Well, how does that work then? Are they sitting around a conference table raising their hand for the vote and Kavanaugh waits for the big guy and then he follows with the right hand or the left hand? Or how is it that they vote on an opinion?
Yeah, this is what we don't want cameras in the Supreme Court chamber. What we want is cameras in the Supreme Court conference room where the nine justices are on the table, and they do it in order of seniority. So Robert speaks first. He frames the case. He votes first, and he says what he thinks the case should, how it should be decided, and it goes in order of seniority. So Thomas goes second, and Thomas sits opposite him at the other end of the conference table, and then, you know, in this case, votes against the chief, and then it goes around in order of seniority, and Breyer sides with the chief, right, sending a signal to the liberals, hey, I'm with the chief, right? And then it goes down the line in order of seniority with Kavanaugh voting last. And so you can imagine in cases there, you know, there's four votes on the table and it finally gets to the Trump appointees, right? Gorsuch, Barrett, Kavanaugh, right? You know, one of them could provide the fifth vote and be the swing justice and be the majority.
And that's fascinating then. So the rookie judges, if you will, have very little sway when it comes to convincing the other justices, I might have said justices, to go their way, right? I mean, if Kavanaugh's voting last, he's not going to change anyone's mind because the other eight have voted.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But, of course, you realize they've had oral argument before, and when the justices do that, they're asking questions. But what they're really doing is signaling their positions, right? And so the other judges are hearing what they think. And they've also discussed this case a little bit in conference and when they decided to hear the case originally. So it's, you know, and the law clerks discuss this with each other, right? And in the cafeteria, you know, justice think? And, yeah, so there's a lot of intrigue that goes on in the Supreme Court. There really aren't that many secrets.
That is from NIU. We're very happy to talk to Art Ward. Art, great to talk to you. We'll talk again.
Yes, absolutely, Steve.
You're listening to the Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.